I ask somebody to read John 14, verse 27 to us, please, when it's time? Volunteer? Norm? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Somebody volunteer? Henry? And then Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Terry, thank you. John chapter 14, verse 27. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Amen. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. We have been considering the peace of God. And I want to wrap up our consideration for this time period about the peace of God with this message that I've entitled, A Continual Meditation. And very quickly, let's review things that we've considered. Peace, the peace of God, which is the will of God for everyone who belongs to Him. Everyone who has put their trust in Jesus to be their Savior. The peace of God is the will of God for them. That starts, of course, by us having peace with God. It is very difficult, if not impossible, for you to allow the peace of God to rule in your heart if you continually are open to the suspicion that God is out to get you. Hallelujah. At the cross, every reason why God would be out to get you, and there, as far as God is concerned, He is at peace with us. We may not be at peace with Him, but the Scriptures say that He is at peace with us. I'm referring to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, where it says, let us have, the way that it's put there in the NASB translation, at least, it says, we have peace with God, but the sense of it also is, let us have peace with God. And the implication is, as far as God is concerned, there is peace between us and Him. So let's have it. Don't let something else be in your mind. As far as God is concerned concerning you, there is peace. And that's where the peace of God has to start. His peace, as I said to you, in your life is His will. It is a fundamental, absolutely essential benefit of what happened on the cross. And you and I cannot do without it. Does the peace of God matter to you? That was one of the things that we considered. Or is it one of those things that is in your life that, you know, it'd be nice. I sure could use more of it. But you know what? If my day doesn't start off in the peace of God, I'm still getting on with my day. If I'm grumpy today, well, I'm grumpy today, but I'm just getting on with my day. Does the peace of God ruling you matter to you? Because God does not give peace as if it was, you know, I struggle to find adequate metaphors here. Those stuffed animals at the stampede. Your life will get on just fine if you did or did not win one of those stuffed animals at the stampede. But your life will not get on fine without peace. Now, I will say, for the record, when we talk about peace, the peace of God, we are talking about something far bigger than just what I'm touching on. The idea of peace in the Scriptures, if you go back to the Old Testament and the word shalom, it means something far more than just, I'm at ease. Nothing's bothering me. It has an idea of fullness, an idea of everything is okay. Nothing is broken, nothing is missing, is how one person put it. And I'm just actually touching on a small aspect of this greater idea of peace. And that is that part that for lack of a better way of putting it, you know, we're at ease within. We're at ease within. It is the will of God that in everything we do, we are doing it in peace. So much so that the peace of God is almost to become an indicator for you. When you do not have peace about something, it is an indication to you that God does not want you going down that way. But if you live a life where you used to not having peace, then how can you tell whether that's God saying, don't go down there, or that's you giving room to someone to trouble you? The peace of God has to matter to us. It has to be more than one of those things that, yeah, it'd be nice if it was working. It would be nice if I had more of it. But I'm getting on with my life either way. Peace is essential for the will of God to work out in your life. You know, even the books in the Newer Testament, where the writer then begins to tear a strip off of the people who he's talking to, almost always it starts off with grace and peace to you. Like, if you're familiar at all with the book of Galatians, Galatians is not one of those books that has an easy tone to it. You know, he doesn't start off by, you know, talking to them about how nice and wonderful they are. He starts off right from the beginning by saying, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the gospel for a different gospel. But he starts off by telling them, grace and peace to you. Peace matters. Peace has to matter to you if it's ever going to be something that you allow to rule. You cannot afford to stay in a place where whatever's going on the inside of you is just whatever's going on the inside of you. It matters that you watch over your heart, and it matters that peace rule it. And we have been considering that the peace of God has been given. It's not being held back. The peace of God has been given. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus, in the midst of saying some pretty dramatic and controversial things, says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. It doesn't have to do with condition. It doesn't have to do with whether you deserve it. I give it to you. And then he says, do not let your heart be troubled. If you're used to thinking the peace of God is supposed to be something that comes and just floods and overwhelms every place where I'm open to being worried, then it doesn't make sense what Jesus said. I give you my peace, don't let your heart be troubled. There is a part that we have to play in the peace of God ruling, and that is very, very important. And last week, we very quickly touched upon this whole idea of giving the devil an opportunity. If the devil is having some effect in your life, it's because he was given an opportunity. I don't say that as an accusation, because I'm in the same boat, but as a way of explanation. We shouldn't be naive and ignorant to the fact that you cannot give the devil an opportunity, or let me put that differently, we cannot ignore the instructions of God and expect that there is no consequence. The devil looks for opportunities, and that's why God instructs us. Okay, let's keep moving here. I said to you along the way that we must let peace rule, and we sort of broke that down into three aspects. We have to let peace rule. That's what Colossians chapter 3 says. It has to be a choice on our part. And so we could break that down to say, don't allow your heart to remain troubled. This is not to say that you will not face circumstances that don't jar you or jolt you and for the moment trouble you, but don't let your heart stay there. Don't let your heart stay troubled. And letting the peace of God rule involves a deliberate consideration of him and a using of his promises. And that's what I want to touch upon today. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read that again. Oh, no, we haven't read that. Did we read it? Yeah, we did. Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your forbearing spirit, be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we can say that this passage has to do with the peace of God. The passage that specifically talks about it, he gives us a bunch of instructions. And those instructions matter. It tells us, deliberately rejoice. Rejoicing, I know that there are times when we're just happy. And we just are, things are going well and everything's great. And so in that context, rejoicing is, you'd think, obvious. But the command says, rejoice in the Lord. And it's a command, right? Not a suggestion, and not a passive sentence. You will be rejoicing, or it will come to pass that you are rejoicing. It tells us to rejoice. There's a deliberate choice to rejoice. There's a deliberate need to deal with anxiety and depression expressed here. Don't let your heart be troubled. How does he put it? He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There is a deliberate instruction to deal deliberately with anxiety. Right? Is it normal? What would you say? Is it possible to live a life free of anxiety? Apart from any sort of medical supplement. Which I wouldn't say is free of anxiety, it's just been dampened. Well, according to the Lord, it is. Anxiety is not normal for you and me. What are you talking about? I'm only ever anxious about things that you should be anxious about. I only worry about things that we should worry about. You know, I don't worry just arbitrarily. You know, if God has made a promise to you to be your provider, your shepherd, your peace, your healer. Basically, he describes himself as everything you will ever need. And he is faithful. What circumstance ever is logical for us to worry? Sensible for us to worry? Worry has nothing to do with whether it's logical or sensible. Worry has to do with, at the end of the day, sneaking suspicion that God ain't going to come through. It's also right to say that worry is a preoccupation with something that hasn't happened yet. You don't worry about stuff that already happened. Right? You worry about stuff that may happen. It is possible to let the peace of God rule in these things. And he gives us instruction there. Now, you know, he gives us these instructions. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. If you know a grumpy Christian, something is wrong with that Christian. Grumpiness is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. The spirit that we have been given is a forbearing spirit, a gentle spirit. I'm not saying that we don't get grumpy at times, but staying in that mode and acting like you're entitled to be that way because, well, of whatever reason, is wrong. Is wrong. That is not the Spirit of God working in you. And you have a choice about it. Let your forbearing spirit be made known to all men. He deliberately gives us instructions to help us with the peace of God. And yet, with that said, I think it's very important that we also recognize all of those instructions presume something. They are based on something. Rejoice in the Lord always. How is that possible? How is it possible to rejoice in the Lord always, in all things? Well, if all you hear is, I'm supposed to, whenever anything goes wrong, I'm just supposed to say nice things about God. Well, what happens is, we almost misunderstand what the point of the instruction really is. If our heart is filled with worry and suspicion and accusations that have been made against us and by us, if our heart is filled with fleshliness, but then on top of that, we just sort of slather a layer of correct doctrine. Well, I'm just supposed to rejoice anyway. Then we're missing the point. What God is talking about is to flow out of a continual meditation on your part of the goodness of God. I want to build on that. I don't mean that we should all quit our jobs, lock ourselves in our room, and just think about God. Okay? I'm not talking about the kind of meditation that you would engage in when you're deliberately seeking to draw something out of a passage of Scripture. But I'm talking about what is the thought within your heart? What's really going on inside you? That is where rejoicing flows from. That is where a deliberate choice to deal with anxiety flows from. We can't, you know, there's a lot of teaching that has to do with, you know, here's something that God has promised. Do these four steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it'll come to pass. You know, just never let a negative word come out of your mouth, for example. Now, that's true. You shouldn't let a negative word come out of your mouth, right? But guess what? If your heart is filled with negative thoughts about the thing that you're thinking about, despite all of the good doctrine that says you should not let a negative word come out of your mouth, it's going to come out. What am I saying to you? In one sense, I'm saying to you something that we started at the beginning. Watch over your heart, because from it flow the springs of life. Not from having correct doctrine. Not from having sufficient teaching about how to lay hold of some promise in God, be it prosperity or healing. Take these four verses and repeat them every day for 3 times a day until it comes to pass. The practice is not wrong and it's not bad. But if what's in your heart is a thought about God that is not compatible with what those passages say, what's the point? What God is interested in is what's going on in your heart. You know, we take peace. I'll be presumptuous to say this because I don't know everybody's heart, but I suspect, given the way that we live our lives, I don't think we take peace as seriously as we should. I'll give you an example from my own life. And I will say that the Lord is helping me with this, so this is not a static report. I've progressed from what I'm about to say. It was almost as if the motto of my life was, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? I procrastinated like nothing else. I always put things off. I shouldn't say always, but often put things off long enough, you know. And it wasn't out of some meanness or some rottenness. I just would put things off because I got busy. I'd rather do this instead and all that kind of stuff. So I'd keep putting things off. Well, I don't know if anybody's aware, but when you put things off, what almost always happens is you end up in a crunch. You end up in a circumstance where you're desperate for God to help you. And I have to say, over and over and over and over again, I have met with kindness and mercy from God. But that crunch was completely unnecessary. The anxiety of being in that circumstance was completely unnecessary. It is not normal. There are times when something happens that you don't have control over and all of a sudden you are in a crunch. But that's very different than putting yourself in a position where anxiety is almost by default what's going to happen to you. And you can come out of it at the other end and say, hallelujah, look what the Lord did. But if something hasn't changed in the way you live, then you don't put a priority on peace that God puts on. I am a walking testimony of the fact that God is willing to rescue us from our troubles. That does not mean that God wanted us to be in trouble in the first place. You know, the scriptures talk about living a simple life. Make it your ambition to live a simple life. But sometimes it seems to me we make things so complicated. And we don't realize, because it's not something that's directly connected to peace, we don't see the cumulative effect of that on our life. peace is so critical to our lives. And I'm not talking merely because God wants you to not worry. You cannot move effectively in the things of the Spirit if you're not in peace. You cannot discern the voice of the Lord and what He is saying, generally speaking. Of course, God is not limited by us in any way. But as a general principle, you cannot hear what He is saying if you're not in peace. And if our life is merely about getting out of one scrape to the next, and not seeing, I need to live a life of peace, then all that our life will be about is one scrape to the next, one escape to the next. And hallelujah, God does rescue us, but there is more possible for us than just that. You need to be a person who looks and sees, hey, am I where I am because of the choices that I've made? Or am I keeping myself from seeing the choices that were made because God rescued me anyway? Hallelujah for the mercy and the patience of God. Amen. Hallelujah for the mercy and the patience of God. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, I am a walking testimony of the fact that God is willing to deliver people who are foolish. But that doesn't mean He wants me to stay foolish. Peace matters. If you live a life and your whole way is that at the end of the day, you're just so, I mean, you may not put it this way because you have the right doctrine. We are supposed to be at peace and hallelujah, I just believe God. But the effect of your life is that you're just running from one crisis to the next. Something is wrong. And one of the issues there is you don't value peace like God does. If your heart is troubled, there is something in your heart that is not what God wants. A way, a thought about God Himself, that is not what God wants. If I had more time, I'd build on that thought that at the end of the day, the only trouble you and I ever have is a thought about God. And again, that's not an accusation. You know, if you're in a place where you're stuck, you're waiting for God to do something, or you can't seem to break through in something, or you can't seem to walk in something that God has promised as being normal for the saint, there is some thought about God that needs to be dealt with. As I said, that's not an accusation. It's an explanation. I'm in the same boat. And we don't gain anything by just closing our ears and saying, well, no, I refuse to think that I'm the problem. You know what? In my life, I am the problem. God is never the problem in my life. In my walk with God, I am the only problem, really. I know I have an adversary. I know that there are the people who hinder me. But in all of those things, at the end of the day, it's still me and my reaction before the Lord. I am not immune to the thought, why did you let this happen? I am not immune to the thought, what's taking you so long? There is a thought within that God wants to get at. Everything in our life is to flow from our relationship with Him. If where we're at is less than what God wants, there's something in our relationship with Him that needs to be attended to. And hallelujah for the kindness and the mercy of God. We need a continual meditation on Him and His goodness. And as I said, that's not to say that you're supposed to quit work and just, you know, take scriptures and as almost like a mantra, like people in the world meditate. Just say over and over again, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. I'm talking more about there being worked in you something so deep that you continually think, your reaction in the midst of circumstances is, ah, but the goodness of God is going to make a difference here. Ah, but the goodness of God has an answer here. So you're not leaping from, how come this happened to, how come this happened? But rather you're thinking, ah, but even in this, the goodness of God is going to help me. a continual, you carry with you the goodness of God. And one of the best ways to cultivate that is through something like Psalm 103. Not the only psalm, but like Psalm 103. We must understand we have a part to play in the peace of God ruling. You are filled with something as you go through your day. You are filled with something as you go through your day. And I exhort you to allow something like Psalm 103 to be the thing that is always you're coming back to as you consider what you're going through. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. A deliberate consideration of Him and a deliberate using of the promises that He has made. That you stay in peace. I actually want to end there. I want to exhort you to not put up with something less than peace ruling your life. I want to exhort you to make up your mind that you're not going to settle for something less than the peace of God ruling. It really matters. And so therefore, I exhort you to attend to what is going on in your heart concerning Him. If you're grumpy, if you're troubled, there is some thought about Him that needs to be attended to. And you can deliberately attend to it by bringing up in your heart and mind something like Psalm 103. As I said to you last week, I encourage you strongly, memorize those first few verses of Psalm 103. And of course, you can use other ones, right? But here's a great place to always come back to. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You're being deliberate, aren't you? You're talking to yourself here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. For all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And as you go through your day, you're continually coming back to the goodness of God. As we do these things, as Philippians says, as we set our minds on better things than just what this world says, peace of God and the God of peace is with us. I'm going to end there. Let's give thanks to the Lord, and then we'll look forward to the next things that God has for us.